a mystical thing, but the Pancha Tattva says they opened the storehouse of love of God, and they were distributing it freely. And the more they distributed it, the more it increased. The more they gave it out, the more there was. And that's the way it worked. I've had devotees say, well, we can't distribute the books because we don't have very many. And if we distribute them, we'll run out of books. But if you don't distribute them, you'll never get any more books. Because why should Krishna give you more if you're not? If you distribute them, then you get more. If you give the holy name, we'll get the holy name. If we give Krishna as much as possible, thinking how to get the holy name, how to make arrangements for more and more people to chant the holy name, to make temples, to make parties, kirtans, festivals, to go out, and just somehow or other find ways, make music, make DVDs, CDs, distribute them, get on the radio, whatever we can do, and give Krishna, then we'll be very happy. It's a natural thing. And we're discussing amongst ourselves, making plans, how to spread Krishna consciousness. How to serve the devotees, how to make the devotees happy, because that makes Krishna happy. Krishna loves all devotees, even the ones we think are not very good devotees, or the ones we don't like. Krishna doesn't think like we do. He loves all of them because they're all his children and they're all trying to serve him. So he sees everyone equally. He just rewards accordingly. He is on one of the question day, sounds the title of the journal. That Mamavar, Nanavar, Kante, Manusha Parka Sarvacha. As they approach me, and Krishna says, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So some people take that to think, well, everybody's going to Krishna no matter what you do. Right? Is that right? You can drink your way to Krishna, you can rape your way to Krishna, you can, you know, fight your way to Krishna, right? That's not what it means. It means that just like everyone in Ghana is under the government, whether they're good citizens or policemen, judges, or in the prison, they're all under the government. It's the government's place. So ultimately we're all under Krishna. It's all Krishna's path. So everything goes according to the law. Just like if you break the laws of the state, then you end up in prison. If you do things nicely, you get promoted, you can live comfortably, you can be protected by the government. So everyone is under Krishna's law, so if someone, you know, surrenders, they take shelter, then they'll work towards Krishna. If they go against Krishna and plunder and do whatever sinful activities, then they'll have to suffer the reactions, because they're not going to end up with Krishna. For some people, demons, they end up, you know, with Krishna or Putana or something, but it's not recommended to try to kill Krishna thinking, well, then he'll liberate me. We can't get that close to Krishna. Only big, big special demons that are, you know, like part of Krishna's entourage can be in that kind of lila with Krishna. So Krishna is provided for everyone. We saw Swadru with the Srimad Purana, the land is so fertile, you don't have to do anything, just plant the seeds and they grow right away. Right? Actually, for living off the land, I don't think there's a better place in the world than Ghana, maybe other countries in Africa, where the land is so fertile, the land is available, and the seasons are very nice, it never freezes up or you can't do anything. You don't have that kind of problems. So we should take advantage of that and not try to live like we're in New York City or something, you know, where there's no choice but to live in a cement department and work in a factory or office and ride the bus all day and everything. But take advantage, because that's Prabhupada stressed that, living off the land, simple living and high thinking, as on the West African letterhead, the motto. So I don't know how many are doing that. It requires a change of consciousness because of the condition, but it's the ideal life. Live simply, you don't need much when you live in the countryside and you're growing your own food. And that will also attract people. So we invite anyone who wants to, between Shivas Prabhu and Nishringa, they're getting a lot of land out there, hundreds, many hundreds of acres of good land. Some more money is required, but in the meantime, anyone wants to stay there, they can make a mud house, have some land, grow your own food, help when they have to fix stuff or, you know, things to do there. The devotees here, they went and planted how many acres of corn? How much corn did you plant? That's what the devotees planted? 2.5 acres, that's how many corns is that? How many trees? It's a lot, right? Yeah, 25 devotees worked all day doing that. And it's growing really nicely. Where's that cassava? Where's that cassava we brought from there? In your house? I should show it. It's like this big. The tree is practically this high as the ceiling. And then underneath there was so many, this big, grows quick. So many different, in that moringa tree, that one's like really good food, really good medicine. If you have bald head, they make your hair grow. If we don't want that, but, you know, it can cure a lot of things. But it's good food, grows like anything, you don't have to do any maintenance. It's almost like heavenly, the way the soil is, the way things grow, the cassava, those things, they don't require a lot of attention, right? Like some crops, you have to watch them all the time, pick the bugs off, and, you know, be really careful. But these things are, they just do it for you. Coconuts, papaya, banana, they're just like desire creatures called banana. They just keep growing, right? And they just keep producing more and more banana. You don't have to do anything. And you can live. So we should take advantage. We should get free from the marketplace and having to have money to buy food and all that. Krishna's not provided all this. But even around here, there's a lot of land that where things can be planted and growing. But someone has to take it out. Not much work to plant some papaya, plant some cassava, plant some moringa around the edges or something. You know. Some land is just vacant. And, you know, have things, better things to offer to the deities, because it's grown by devotees, not all contaminated by all kinds of dirty people handling it all along the way, and chemicals, you know. That is, Krishna was a farmer, Balaram carried a plow, right? He used it for fighting, but he used it also for plowing. Krishna kept the cows, they were enjoying all their food also, they had everything. Maya has arranged in these countries that the main food now is bread and rice, but it's all imported. So that's obviously Maya, that, you know, when you have the best land in the world and you have to import your food, right? And so you export chocolate, but not very many people make the profit off the chocolate. You know, somebody does. And you have to import the food. It doesn't make any sense. But somehow my aunt is doing that all over the world. You know, even in Japan, there's also a rice culture. For ever. You know, rice. They don't grow wheat there. There's no climate for it. They're expert at growing rice. They grow it right in Tokyo. They grow it everywhere. But now the young people like bread so much that the rice farmers can't sell their rice. There's not a big enough demand now. They have plenty of rice, but people want to eat bread. But the bread comes from Australia. And their rice is so expensive they can't eat. So this is how Maya is everywhere doing these kind of things. Kali Yuga. It causes people more and more anxiety. When they could just go and live off the land, and of course some people are doing it out of force or whatever, they're just leaving everything and going and start farming and just living by whatever they can produce, and they become very happy. So we have this facility, we're hoping that a few more devotees will help. It's not our labor most of the time. It's just once in a while when we have to harvest or plant or something, and then the rest of the time it's just kind of keeping things going, worshiping the deities, you know, going to the market, whatever, and selling things. If devotees are growing vegetables and they go to the market to sell them, they can preach at the same time also. Or you can offer it all before you sell it. And then distribute it. I asked, they planted so many beans, and I said, what are you going to do with the beans? He said, food for life, you know. Beans and corn, you can feed so many people. And that spreads Christian consciousness. And many different advantages, there are many good results come. But the real thing is, we spread Christian consciousness, we connect with what Chaitanya's movement. And we can develop, you know, good qualities of the devotee. Learn to take care of the devotee, take care of ourselves. Because you're also a devotee, so you have to take care of your own health also. If we don't take care of our body, then that's also offensive, because Krishna belongs to Krishna. So if we don't take care of rest, take proper rest, eat properly, exercise properly, you know, do whatever is necessary to keep it in good condition, then it's Krishna's property. So then it's disturbing to Krishna. And then at some point comes we can't use it in Krishna's service. And we have to spend all our energy just to go to the hospital. So we want to start out intelligent, be careful, you know, and help other devotees to make sure that, you know, if we're running a temple, that the prasadam is nice and fresh. And today, out there, this Aditi Mataji, she cooked so nicely. I was so surprised to see such a beautiful prasadam. And if we would see it on Sunday like that, a little expense extra, but the results would be that people would become really enlivened. And more and more people would want to come because, you know, and Krishna, of course, it's first, we're really cooking for Krishna. So if we're thinking of that, we'll always want to. And Krishna provides. You know, okay, we make everything really nice according to our means. Krishna provides everything we need. There's so much land and so much food, and they're throwing away food all over the place. Some countries have huge stockpiles of things and they don't distribute it, and other countries don't have anything. You know, they spend all their money on weapons and wars, and they don't feed their citizens. You know, it's a Kali Yuga. So by spreading the holy name is the only way to really change anything. Protesting here and there, that isn't going to change anything. But spreading the holy name will actually purify the whole atmosphere. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. there's one devotee named Gopal Prabhu. He plays Madangala with Andhra in Vrindavan. Jai Jaya Swami, he gives seminars and he's about how to do kirtan and how not to do kirtan. So he was interviewing Gopal, and Gopal said, well, the best way to play Madanga is to follow the singer. And Jai Jaya Maharaj got all excited and said, well, where did you learn that? He said, I learned from Andhra. If you don't follow the way he's singing, he just takes the Madanga and tells you to go away. Get out of here. So they learn. And then usually the drummer is the rhythm section, he's not the leader of the band. And if he doesn't follow the leader, he's out, you know, he's a hired hand, and they just say, we'll get another one. I remember one band that was one of my favorite bands, and the drummer just made one little tiny mistake at the end of the song, and the guy just started screaming at him, you fool, you rascal. He went this way instead of that way, you know. And so it's not like when we have kirtan that we have to have a lot of drums all competing to see who can play the fastest and the loudest. It should be in the song of Mangalartik, it's Madhurya Madanga, right? Sweet Madanga. It should be nice. It should be enhancing the holy name so that everybody hears the holy name more and more clearly. Of course, we do get carried away and a little excited, but make it short, too. And then get back to focusing on the holy name. And then we'll become much more and more kind of ecstatic. Japa also. Concentrate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada gave the translation, oh Lord, you know, please engage me in your service. Very simple. There's other more extensive ones, but they're all the same thing. Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. Krishna, please save me. Please teach me how to serve, you know, through the devotees. There's all kinds of different ways, but ultimately it all means to my dear Lord, my dear energy, the Lord. Please engage me in your service. If we're chanting with a service attitude, then we really want to serve Krishna. And of course, when we're chanting, that is service in itself. Chanting is service. Hearing the holy name is the first service. Shravana Kirtana. So hearing attentively is service in itself. We don't have to at that time do anything else. Take full shelter of the holy name. And with a strong desire to just serve Krishna. And whatever we do, it's service. It's a great privilege. Whatever service, it's not work, it's not something we have to do, it's because we're a volunteer movement. But it's a great privilege to be able to do any kind of service for Krishna, whether it's directly serving the deity or just, you know, cleaning the bathroom or whatever it is. It's sort of, if we're thinking this is for Krishna's pleasure, this is Krishna's property, these are Krishna's devotees, and it's my great fortune that Krishna is allowing me to serve here. Then we'll be extremely happy, because that will be very pleasing to Krishna. That's humility. Whatever you want, everybody knows that verse in the Bible also. Knock and seek and you shall find. How do you say it? I mean, there's different translations, that's the way I learned it. Seek and you shall find, look and you will find, search and you will find, whatever. Search and you shall find, knock and the door will open. And what else? Ask and you shall receive. So that we have to understand means to be careful what you ask for. Because you're going to get it. You know, so if you're thinking, oh Krishna, I want that devotee to suffer, you know, and he stepped on my foot, then that devotee will suffer and you'll be responsible. If we're thinking, I want sense gratification. So be careful what you ask for, be careful Krishna, look for the holy name, look for service, you'll get it. If we look for Maya, we'll get that. And be careful what door you knock on. Knock on the temple door. Don't knock on the pub or the prostitute house or something. They'll gladly open the door and ask you to come and step right in. Walk right in. Get right down. If we want Maya, she'll welcome you like anything. Oh, welcome back. Where have you been? We've missed you so much. We can hardly live without you. But Krishna will do the same thing when we try to get back to Krishna. So there's a good philosophy. It's very right. Krishna is a desire tree. And we get what we want. You get what you want. Everything is based on desire. So the bhakti process is to purify our desires. Learn to desire Krishna, desire service to Krishna, desire association of devotees. Just purify it. Not to have no desires. That's not possible. But that's what my advice is saying. Have no desires. That's not possible. Because they've seen that their material desires cause misery, so they think no desire. But that's impossible. The soul's only function is to desire. So we just want to purify our desires, so that we want to serve Krishna. We want to hear about Krishna, see Krishna, talk about Krishna, serve Krishna, tell other people about Krishna, chant Krishna. Somehow or other engage in the service of the Lord. And you will help us. Every endeavor is covered with fault. Everything we try to do, there's so many impediments. But that's just testing. Just keep trying. Krishna sees the effort. Just keep trying, no matter how it seems like we're not getting anywhere. It seems like, it's not going to happen. Just keep trying. Because it's all for the better. It's all good. Okay, so. Any questions? Question? Everybody satisfied? Is everybody getting sufficient prasadam? Do you have a complaint department? I saw you saying who's in charge of everything. Do you have a complaint department? If anybody not getting enough prasadam, or they had to wait too long for the bathroom, or they don't like their roommate or something, they can complain. And then you can help them. Big companies have that, department stores have that. They have someone that's extra, they can listen to the complaint without getting all mad at them and telling them to shut up, It's better than to complain, it's better to try to give to come. To complain about our own suffering, it just makes us more miserable. But if we try to help others, and then, we'll forget our own suffering. It's just a natural thing. If we're absorbed in trying to help others, and we realize that there's so many people suffering much more than we, it's quite terrifying sometimes. Sometimes they even recommend if you think your life is miserable, go to the hospital, look around, hang around the hospital emergency room for a while, the intensive care waiting room or something, and then you might start to think, wow, I'm really lucky. My life is great. And these devotees are great. Everything is wonderful. Because the material world is quite a dangerous place. So that's probably enough. I had some movies. There's one movie that's very interesting about the doctor, and there's the one about the Ganga documentary. Beautiful tour of the Ganga and all the different things along the way. And the Prabhupada memories, but if we can get that big television over here, I guess that's not as good as this projector. But otherwise, when we all come together, we should be thinking how to serve the devotees and how to learn from the devotees. What are they doing? How is their preaching developing? Should also finish your Purana if you have a chance. Here's a Sagya. It's quite amazing. Isn't it? The papaya is big. Really. And the tree has it, so many of them. No problem or anything. Lord Jagannath stays there. Are Pavitra Prabhu here still, or are you wiped out from the kirtan? He saved up money to go to India, but then I guess he got inspired from the surface world or something, and he decided instead to do Food for Life, use the money for that. Maybe he got inspired by the Dr. Abdullah there in Conway. He gives everything for free. All his medical services and people staying there and feeding them and everything. So he has people from all over the world calling him up to give money, even though he never asked for it. But he's always giving. So his wife, who started out small because he quit his job in the hospital and just started treating whoever would come. And his wife would cook something and then drive around and look for the madmen and serve them the food. And that, you know, that's not easy because those guys they don't stay anywhere. They're always. And then that was recognized. Now they got a van from the Catholic churches, you know, charity fund or something. They get all kinds of help. The American Embassy built them a hospice, you know, for people with AIDS and stuff. So he's very favorable, and so for Rich, I think he does the Food for Life in that compound. There's so many people there all the time. And anyway, he got inspired. It's quite laudable, I thought. Very admirable. And I think he's probably getting more reciprocation from Christian than if he had just gone to India to try to enjoy, you know, whatever, even though it's spiritual enjoyment. So there's many devotees doing all kinds of wonderful things, many ideas devotees have. We all want to help each other to accomplish that. Even if you just say, well, that sounds great, please do it, you know. That will encourage someone. That will make them happy. Somebody appreciates what they're doing. Even if we can't really do anything to, you know, physically help them, or we don't have donation to give them or something. We don't have time. But we can share, we can help, and try to fulfill this idea of this self-sufficiency, this simple living and high thinking, cottage industries and all these things that Bhakti Vikramraj, whenever I saw him in the early days he was in Africa, that's all he talked about was all these cottage industries and self-sufficiency and farms, and it was starting to happen, but then due to many different reasons, things got scattered around. Now it's time, it's coming back together. And for Krishna, 10, 20 years is not a big deal, you know. For us, it seems like. And it's just time to really come together and give up all our, you know, whatever disagreements we have. One of my godbrothers is a very, very successful businessman, and he's helping us to, you know, organize things. He says he and his partner, they argue like anything. But he said from that arguing becomes great things. You know, because they both want to make their business get bigger. But they have different ideas of what they should do, but finally they come to some agreement and they're really into it, and then they make it bigger and bigger. So he's able to donate so much money to the movement and have, I think he has a Porsche, a Turbo, and a Ferrari, and some of the, you know, cars and yachts, and still he's doing all these things and helping the movement and donating and organizing, empowered by Krishna. Clear-headed, hard work. anything before he finishes his rounds. Very good. So we can learn from so many devotees, and we can learn from those who are doing more advanced. We can help those who are less advanced, and we can party with those who are equal, render service, do whatever we can, you know, help to establish, to save the people. You know, people are suffering, they're all just going to hell. Maya has everybody just, look around here and see what's going on. Okay? If there's no question, then I'll stop. So everybody can get their life together. And we can meditate on service to the devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan Dui Pabe Shigre Shri Krishna Chara. You know what that means? Pretty simple words. Vaishnav Seva means service to devotees. Seva means humble, that we think this devotee is very great, that this God, you know, this Vaishnav Seva, Guru Seva, Didi Seva, you know, like that. Sevas, we're looking up to that person. And Nama Sankirtan, everybody knows what that is, huh? Anybody know? Chanting the holy name. And Dui means two. Dui Pabe, only two things. Shigre means quick. Our Sridhar Swami used to tell people when they were hesitating to give a donation, he'd say, Subhasa Shigram. In Hindi, that means if it's auspicious, do it quick. Subhasa Shigram, you can remember that. Don't hesitate. He hesitates with lahas. Dui Pabe Shigra, Shri Krishna Chara, and you get the lotus feet of Krishna very quickly, simply by serving the devotees and chanting the holy name. Not very complicated thing. So here's a great chance to serve devotees. So many devotees are here. Remember, the children are devotees, right? And you want to be devotees. So pay attention to them. Give them service. They're the future. The future is right there. We're not the future. We're just hopefully trying to make it nice for the future. We don't want to leave them a big mess. And America has a new president now, and whatever it is, at least his name rhymes with Rama. Obama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So that's something good, you know. Because not too many words rhyme with Rama. Drama, you know, and Obama. Can you think of anything else? Obama. Oh Rama, Obama, oh Rama. So at least, you know, when his name is going to be all over news everywhere and everything, we can remember that. They say he carries the Hanuman. He's got a little Hanuman. He's got this good luck charm. Somehow or other, someone gave him this Hanuman sometime. They say he went to India, you know. There's some theory, but it's definitely a little Hanuman. Monkey god, you know. So Hanuman does help people. The world is, the only thing that's really going to help anybody is the more the holy name is spread, the more the Sankirtan movement spreads. And that's in your hands. You can do it or not do it. When I joined, they said, you better join quick, because if you don't do it, someone else is going to do it. And you're going to miss the boat, you know. They even said, the temples are filling up. If you don't join right away, there'll be no, you won't be able to get in. You know, they really were pushing, like, you got to surrender everything. That was nice. They were loving. But there's plenty of room for everybody. Plenty of service. There's unlimited people out there that need to learn about Krishna, need to hear about Krishna. And the more we come together and the more we think about doing that, then Krishna will give us more and more facilities to do that. Start small and it will become big. One step at a time. You can go very far by one step at a time. You can't take 10 steps at one time, you'll just fall on your face. Okay? But if you take one step, one step, one step, and just keep walking, you can walk all the way around the world. Doesn't even take very long. People have done it. Our Bhakti Mag Swami has walked all the way across Canada like 3 or 4 times, 6,000 kilometers. Meets so many people along the way, and you know, gets interviewed by so many newspapers and radios and television. And, you know, chants 64 hours a day. Quite nice. Maybe we should organize a walk across town or something. Just walking, you don't have to have the whole body after. Keep everybody walking. Yeah, people take note of that. Walk for peace. And Lord Jagannath parade is coming. That's also very auspicious, very pleasing to Prabhupada, that he thought Lord Jagannath all over the world. Shri Radha Govinda ki Jai. Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki Jai.